I look at my journey, again, both as a pastor and as a follower of Jesus, and I've seen how some of the same mistakes can be made in both, in terms of just the things that we pursue in life, or the things that I would pursue as a pastor, that I think are going to bring me to this place of being content. Sure. And provide for me what I think it's going to provide, only to get there and realize, oh, wow, there's something
more. Made a mistake. Man, Pastor, I tell you what, this is going to be a really powerful episode today. The content that Brad and I are going to divulge is really, really going to challenge and transform you. Over the next 40 minutes or so, you're going to find some encouragement to be uplifted and be a little bit challenged in your process. So by all means, buckle up, grab that coffee, notepad, AirPods, whatever you need to do, and let's get to work.
Hey, Pastor, have you ever gotten to your office on a Monday and revised your resume? Have you ever browsed the job ads at ministryjobs.com and found yourself envisioning your life at that large church in Florida? Do you find yourself sometimes dreaming about just stacking lumber at Home Depot? Leadership doesn't have to be that way, and I want to walk you down the pathway to healthy, vibrant leadership, taking your Monday into an eager, energized, and abundant lifestyle. My name is Kevin, veteran pastor with nearly 20 years of full-time ministry and leadership experience. I've walked through the tensions of trauma and drama that can come as a minefield of stress and anxiety to every pastor. Together, we're going to learn the simplicity of leadership that breathes life to you rather than consume everything from you, in simple strategic steps leading you to clarity, creativity, and a little bit of cash flow. Growth is possible and it's inside your reach. Now, grab your notebook and let's dig into it.
So glad to have you with us today. This is my friend Brad. Brad and his wife, Anne, live in Wheaton and have been married for 18 years. They have two daughters, Ella, who's 12, and Everly is 9. After serving on staff for 10 years at Community Christian Church in Naperville and at various roles, student pastor, campus pastor, network leader, they planted a church in Glen Ellen in 2013. Did I say that right? Glen Ellen?
Yep, Glen Ellen, yeah.
After 5 years, they merged with a smaller church in Wheaton and celebrated the grand opening of One Line Church in March of 2019. Brad is currently the lead pastor of One Line Church, and their mission is helping people live the way of Jesus. Brad also leads a coaching business called Trailhead, which is a system designed to lead people towards transformation in the areas of life that matter most. Brad, thank you so much for being a part of us, our podcast today. Tell us a little bit more about who you are, about what you do, about what makes you tick, what you love to do, and those kind of things.
Well, yeah. First of all, thanks, Kevin, for having me on. Looking forward to spending some time together. Yes, I mean, that's the short version of me and who I am. And, you know, I spend my days as, you know, husband, as a father, pastor, and really just help. Like, for me, I look at it as how can I help bring value in the spaces and the places and the people where God's placed me. And most of that stems from just the hard lessons I've learned in life over the years, just being in ministry for now about 20 years and being a follower of Jesus for most of my life. You know, there's a lot of lessons you learn along the way and about the church and about being a follower of Jesus. And so
I love it.
Yeah, that's really who I am. And for me, it's, you know, I look at my journey, again, both as a pastor and as a follower of Jesus, and I've seen how some of the same mistakes can be made in both, in terms of just the things that we pursue mm-hmm. in life, or the things that I would pursue as a pastor, that I think are going to bring me to this place of being content and provide for me what I think it's going to provide, only to get there and realize, oh, wow, there's something more.
Well, okay, so describe that. What kind of mistakes do you think that we make?
Hey, Pastor, let me break into this podcast for just a quick second and let you know about something I have coming up that I really need you to know about. But let me ask you something. Are you tired of that same small group of people carrying all the weight in your church? Do you feel like your congregation is stuck in attendance mode without a clear path to involvement or growth? And what about you, Pastor? Are you tired? Are you running on empty, wondering how much longer you can keep juggling it all? Here's the truth. It doesn't have to be that way. What if your church was thriving with fully engaged members, people stepping into their God-given gifts, taking ownership of ministry, and driving that mission forward? Imagine walking into a church where ministries are never without leaders, where members feel valued and fulfilled, and where you as the pastor can focus on leading instead of just managing everything. That's exactly what the Make More Disciples Challenge is all about. To get you started I've created a powerful free resource that will help you pinpoint the engagement gaps holding your church back. It's called 7 Ways to Break Your Church Out of Its Indifference Coma, and it's packed with practical tools to help you turn attenders into fully activated disciples. You can download it today at pastorsthriving.com. It's your first step toward building a church where people are eager to serve, spiritual gifts are unleashed, and disciples are multiplying at every level. And when you're ready to go even deeper, I would love to guide you through the Make More Disciples Challenge, a live course where we'll take everything you've started and turn it into lasting, Spirit-led transformation for your church. It's time to stop settling for status quo and start building the church that you've been praying for. Visit pastorsthriving.com today and grab this free resource and take that first step.
So, you know, I'll just, again, just to be totally vulnerable, transparent, that's, my wife always tells me I'm too much of an open book, but the best way to live.
There's a power in transparency, man.
Yep. So 7 years ago, I hit a place in ministry and personally just with my health where I was for sure at an all-time low, like lowest point. No one would have known it though. Like, you know, I was a couple years into a church plant and was going well, but my expectations weren't met. You know, it's like, there's always, you know, always could be better. And I'm in this place where I'm really kind of having this argument with God. Like, did you really send me to plant a church? And this is the fruit. I mean, and we were a church of probably 150 people at the time.
So it's almost like the question of like, is this the best you got, God?
Right. Like, I thought you had something different for me. And so for me, if I'm not getting the results that I want, my reflex is to just work hard, sacrifice more, do more, give more, sleep less. I mean, that was it. If you would have asked me about spiritual disciplines as a pastor, I would have said, hey, like, I'm always serving, I'm writing sermons. So I'm in the word there. In some ways this is true. I connect with God as I'm serving and as I'm doing, there's a conversation that I have with him as I'm going. And so while that's true, that was the extent of my, you know, connection with God. I mean, it was just serving. And so I got to the point where my wife, Ann, who I've, yeah, like you said, I've now been married to her for 18 years. She could see it. No one else knew it, but she knows me better than anyone. And so she was able to graciously say, hey, Brad, like, something's got to change. You're not healthy. You're not sleeping. You're stressed. She didn't say this, but I was gaining weight, you know? And so, you know, it's just all the stuff that comes with stress.
Were you seeing signs, like, was it affecting your marriage? Was it there too?
No, not totally. I mean, Ann and I's, you know, our marriage has always been strong. She's like, we've always done ministry together. And so we've always been in it. She's amazing. And it wasn't a like rocky marriage. It was more just, she could see it. And out of her love for me, she was basically like, hey, like, in the next 30 days, something's got to change, because you can't keep leading in this way, because eventually you're going to crash and burn completely. Financially, we're making sacrifices that we're making it hard on our family. That was probably the biggest thing is, you know, it's early on a church plant. So we're making sacrifices in general, we're raising money for our own personal support. Mm. And so, so for me, like, coming back to your original question, I got to the point where my identity was totally wrapped up in my success as a pastor. And if things were going well, then that must have meant I had God's favor. And if things weren't going well, then it must be that God's mad at me.
Ooh, that is painful.
I must have missed his calling. So, okay, God, I'm just going to work harder then, because I, you know.
So, you know, and
if you ask me,
we get into those patterns where, because I've been there too, I was in that zone also. We get into those patterns where we think, okay, it's my effort. I'm not giving enough. I'm not working hard enough, or I'm not clear enough, or something's off on my game. And, that really gets up in your head.
It totally does. And, you know, if someone sits you down and asks you about it, you would be able to articulate. You would have been in those moments of your life. And I could have then that, no, it's, I don't need to earn anything from God. Like, you know, but it's not how I was operating. And like, it's like, we have this weird way of convincing ourselves that, yeah, I know that's true, but there's got to be something off, because, you know, God's got to have something different for me.
So what did you do about it? What happened in those 30 days? What did you do?
So the very first thing I did was I hired a spiritual director, and her name's Gail. She runs a ministry called Sacred. And I went to meet with her because she's just opposite of me. And in, when it comes to the ability to just want to be still and practice solitude. And I went to this first session. I'm driving there. It was about a 40-minute drive. And the whole time I'm driving there, Kevin, I'm thinking, I do not have time for this. Like, I know I need to do this, but I don't have time for it. And probably too, I don't need this.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I was thinking. Like, even if I know I do need to rest more or practice solitude, like I can do that on my own. I know how to do that. But so I get there, I pull in the parking lot, and I remember just sitting there. I'm like, okay, here we go. So I get in, and the first thing she has me do is talk to my minister, myself. And I spoke for a few minutes. And at the end of it, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be the one pastor that she says, you do not need this. It's like, that's how naive I was. And instead responded and said, this is going to be a long journey.
Wow.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? Didn't you just hear the amazing vision that I have and that God's given to me, and I've been obedient to his calling? And she said something about, I don't remember her exact response, but it was the summary of it was that I had, in all my, my talking, I didn't say anything about my identity as a child of God.
Wow.
And everything was about what I'm doing and not who I am. And so she just took me on a journey of, hey, before anything else, you are made by God and loved by God. You are his child. Whew. Didn't think I was going to get emotional, Kevin. it's been a long journey. So anyway, so then the next thing we did, which was kind of funny, is she's like, all right. So she opened up her Bible and she read from the Psalms, and she's like, I'm going to read from the Psalms. And we did 20 minutes of breathing prayer. It was probably only five. It felt like 20. And I'm just breathing. I'm like, my eyes closed and breathing. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? So that was the very first thing I did. After that, I read everything that I could read about habits and about how to make small changes over time. First one I actually read was The Common Rule. I don't know if you've read this one, but it's Justin Early, The Common Rule. And it's Habits of Purpose in an Age of Distraction.
Wow.
So good. And first thing I did was scripture before phone. That was the first habit that I spent time on. But so I did that. And then I really put it in the category of something I learned from Dave Ferguson, who is my first mentor in ministry at Community. He's the lead pastor of Community. And he talked about what he calls the RPMs. Mm-hmm. And it comes from Luke 2:52. And it's that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. And that's the only thing we know about Jesus from the time he was 12 to the time he was 30 is that he grew. And if you really look closely at that verse, it's four areas of health: relational health, physical health, mental health, spiritual health.
That's powerful.
And so he calls it the RPMs. And so I just looked at, okay, what does relational health look like? Physical health, went on a journey, lost about 40 pounds and went from taking 40 minutes to do a 5K and had to walk half of it to just this past September finished an Ironman in Wisconsin.
Whoa.
So like that was one of the, so that was like a physical health journey that I went on. Mental health. There's some things that I did, and then spiritual.
Yeah.
So
that is so powerful.
That's where I focus.
That's so powerful. So I don't know if you know this or not. We didn't really talk about this a whole lot, but I'm part of the Maxwell team, John Maxwell, and I do, leadership development and stuff like that. And one of my favorite resources that he has is his book, The 15 Laws of Growth. And it's so impactful just to get down to the simplicity of what it means to grow. As I work with pastors around the world now, I am interacting constantly with pastors who feel like they've grown enough. And, that now they're like the epitome of, I need to teach you how to grow. And while nothing could be further from the truth, like we all have something that we need to grow into. And it takes a different kind of humility and getting the ego out of the way of who we are of what we need to do to continue to become Christ followers. I think that's really what it stems to. It used to be like this. I used to say it like this when I was preaching. We are constantly being saved by grace. I think we forget that. I think we forget the fact that, apart from the grace of God, what would I be? And we have to recognize the fact that, today, apart from today, the grace of God, who would I become and what would I be? And that's a growth pattern that we have to continue on each and every day. So, okay. So how has this changed you?
Yeah. So, well, it's changed significantly. So let me just tell you, it has been a journey, and a slow one. I mean, it's 7 years of that. That was 7 years ago. I'm still learning. And to your point, still growing and this is with some significant intentional focus. And I love what you were sharing, Kevin, because I totally agree. We never stop growing. It's about how can, in each of those areas of health, well, how can it be more true of me? What does it look like in this next season? And so, yeah, I would say that couple key things for me when it came to the habits. I immediately started with the spiritual aspect of it. What were the spiritual habits that I needed in place to be reminded every single day before I do anything, before I respond to an email, before I make a phone call, that I have an experience with God's love and knowing just the simple fact that He made me and that He loves me. Because if I can start my day there, then I get to turn and face the world with love. And that's something that Justin Early talks about in his book, The Common Rule.
That's good.
Yeah. It's, this habits of purpose in an age of distraction. And so he has, I think it's like 8 different habits that he recommends starting.
I love that. That's good.
And not starting with, but building into your life and add a few of them. So Scripture Before Phone was my first one. I did that. Then it was 3 times a day of kneeling prayer. So I set an alarm on my phone. That's a great thing about our devices is while they can be a distraction, they can also be a reminder. Yeah. And so I just had this reminder 3 times a day, at 9 and at noon and at 3 p.m. Sweet. And it was just wherever I was at, just turned my heart toward God, specifically to be just reminded of His
That's
love.
That's good.
If I was in a meeting and I couldn't kneel, I would just, turn my palms up. I would just do something
intentional,
make some sort of physical movement to just show intentionality that I'm shifting my attention toward the fact that I'm made by God and loved by
Him.
That's where I started. And now today, I have just a series of habits that, the way I think about it is that your habits are your compass. And so if I know your habits, I can know what your future is going to look like.
That is good. That's good.
So for me, I've just identified 4 habits that I believe are, I call them base camp habits. And it's like if you're setting out on a journey or you're going on a trail or you're going on a hike and you meet at the base camp and you gather your essential supply, like your compass is like the number one thing. Like right now we're like, well, I don't need it. I have my phone and it's got my GPS. Well, if you're going like in the wilderness, like where you don't, your phone isn't going to work, you have a compass. And so I got 4 habits, 1 relational, physical, mental, spiritual habit that I'm always trying to grow in. And so it's 4 W's that I've come with that just help me in each of those areas, relational, physical, mental, spiritual. So yeah, I kind of was all over the place there, but it's really, I would say it's the habits like that for me. I just begin to identify habits in each area of health that will help me
grow. I like that. And I want to dive into that in just a minute, but something that you said kind of in our pre-conversation, this kind of took me in this direction, but one of the habits that I had created as a need for trying to find this same element of rest, because every pastor on some level, whether they're honest with themselves or not, they need to pursue this. And so I had started the habit of sometime in the fall, September, October, November, sometime in there, I would escape for 4 days up to the mountains and I would just be alone, get a cabin and I would just be there by myself and trying to get as much disconnected as I possibly could. I go with no agenda and just like, okay, God, where do you want to take me on this journey? And the only thing I would do is I would download some sermon content that I wanted to listen to for myself to ingest, not to learn from, not to benchmark, not to I should preach that, but just to let God minister to me. And one of those sermons was, it was from back in the day, long, long time ago, a Hillsong conference. And I listened, I can't remember who was speaking, but he used the Message translation and that verse that you brought up, Matthew 11, 28 and 29. And he talked about the rhythms
good,
of
right?
grace, right? And he talked about that, I can't remember exactly the language that Eugene Peterson used in the Message, but it was just this rhythm. And when I was praying about it, I sensed the Lord tell me, hey, Kevin, my grace is good for you too. And that blew me away. Like, you know, here we are, we're supposed to be the conduits of grace. And I felt the Lord like put a stop to the conduit. And he said, I want my grace to pile up on you. And man, that just humbled me. And I would have not got that moment if I would have not intentionally escaped for a minute to seek the Lord for myself. That was powerful. Yep. I actually encourage every pastor, like, find space to do this in your life. You must have it. You don't know what you're coming. You don't know where you're going to get, but you must have it.
You have to have it. And I think the language he uses, the unforced rhythms.
Unforced rhythms.
Grace.
Yeah. So good.
And it's like, watch how I do it. And it's just, you're so right on. Like, you said something a few minutes ago about how sometimes we can get to the point where we feel like we're finished or like we've done enough. Or like we've grown enough, especially I think as pastors, like I'm a pastor, like I've graduated beyond this need for like quiet time.
Right.
Me and God are good. And that's a slow, painful journey toward this false summit of, you know.
Wow.
So you're absolutely
right.
So
let me ask you this. You alluded to these four habits. Would you care to share some of them just to kind of get some ideas for people to kind of step into, well, what would these habits look like for me?
Yep. So relational habit that I talk about is to wait. And it's the idea that you're waiting on yourself in order to put the other person first. So in every conversation, develop the habit of saying the word wait in your mind. Mm. And that is just, okay, I'm going to wait on myself so that I can ask a question of them first, so that I can encourage them, find out about how they're doing, about their story, about their weekend, rather than jumping in with my agenda and the things I want to talk about, is just learn to wait. And so I don't know if you see those things, if you ever see the ads, like how to become the most interesting person in the room. And it's like, it's usually like this 80-year-old guy who's got like chiseled body. Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's how. But so I like, and it's like this list of things. And so for me, I think about it like, instead of that, how do you become the most interested person?
Oh, wow.
Like, to me, that's what's going to begin to transform your relationships. And I honestly can't remember who said this, but it was something I heard years ago. And it's that in a relationship, if you don't like what you're getting, look at what you've been giving. And so if you want a habit that will begin to transform your relationships, start with waiting.
Wow.
And there's other habits you can add, whether it's like consistent dates or whatever, but start with waiting on yourself. So that's like a relational
habit. That's good.
Physical habit is going to sound super simple, but this is, you know, again, what I call a base camp habit is to increase your heart rate for at least 10 minutes a day. But you can just Google it. There's so many physical just benefits to walking, even 10 minutes a day. So just move for 10 minutes a day, increase your heart rate. But for me, the physical, I started that way, but it led to, you know, and I was sharing this a little bit before the, you know, pre-session, but 4 years ago, I did a 5K, took me 40 minutes and I walked half of it. It was miserable. And from there, it was like, I got to lose some weight. So I went on a journey of losing weight and lost about 40 pounds. And then I did a sprint triathlon. Then I did a failed Olympic distance triathlon. Didn't make it. I was a mile short, ran out of time. And then I did a relay triathlon. Then I finally completed an Olympic try. Then I did a half Ironman. Then this past September, I did a full Ironman. And all of that, like if you had asked me 4 years ago, I would have said, one, it's impossible. I could never do it. Two, I wouldn't want to do it. That's just dumb. Why would you, like, who would want to do that? Took me 15 hours to finish.
Wow.
Actually 16 hours. But it was just it's a testament to small changes over time. It's about the consistency winning. Yep. But 10 minutes a day will improve your health. Just move, increase your, so my mental health habit is, I call it wake up. And so it's all designed around your wake up time and your routine. Mm-hmm. So if you can establish a consistent wake up time, so regardless of, most of us operate on, when do I have to wake up tomorrow? And that's how I'm going to set my alarm. This is about being proactive to develop a habit of setting your alarm for a consistent time every day, because there's a consistency in waking up that reduces sleep inertia, which is that groggy feeling that you have when you wake. And sometimes you wake up and you're like, which there's other things that contribute to that too. But one of them is just an inconsistent wake up time. And then a lot more study, and a lot of people are talking about this now, but just the harm that is happening is when we hit the snooze button. So like the snooze button, when you hit that snooze button and you go back to sleep, your brain goes into another sleep cycle.
Resets.
For typically like a minute. Yeah, like a minimum of like 90 minutes. And so then you wake up and you're 9 minutes later when the alarm goes off again and you have this groggy thing. So our mental, like just our mind is, we're already behind when we start the day. So this is about waking up intentionally. And so now I have a wake up routine. It's a 3-hour routine that, again, it's, I don't always talk to everybody about this full routine because it just sounds like, oh, wow, that's just
too crazy,
much.
Right? They think again, you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it started with the struggle to do scripture before phone 7 years ago. I could barely do that. I was probably 50-50 on it. And it led to, my alarm goes off at 4:30. I go downstairs, so no snooze, go downstairs, make coffee, and then I have this morning routine. It's the same every morning, and I read my Bible, and then I pray, and I journal, and then I look at the commitments that I made for the 60-day season that I'm in, and then I look at the commitments that I made for this week, and then I choose that day's priorities.
Wow.
And then so that takes me about an hour, that process from 4:30 to 5:30. And then from 5:30 to 7:30, I write. And so I have 3 hours before anybody in my house wakes up, that an hour of it's me and God. And then, the other 2 hours is still, God is obviously present, but it's where I'm working and writing.
That's so good.
So that, and that's, so that's like the mental habit of just wake up with intentionality. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is spiritual. And so that's the word. So engage with the word every day. And I use Willow Creek study from that to cite some, they did a study that resulted in 4 or more times a week of engaging in God's word is what is the tipping point for transformation. That when they did this study, people who engaged the word 3 times or less a week, there was almost zero difference in their life. Man. But for those who engaged the word 4 times or more, radical difference in destructive behaviors and a huge increase in positive behaviors. So
powerful.
I mean, those are the 4 habits. That might've been longer than you
wanted.
No,
I love that. And it's so like, honestly, here's the thing. I feel like there are so many people who are lost in this. They know they need to do something different. They have no idea what to do. And this simple thing gives so much simplicity and practicality to make so much positive improvement in your life. And to be honest with you, you have not, you're not Elon Musk over here building your own rocket. You just created a super simple process. And if I can piggyback off of this one a little bit, the one that I have all a similar, mine would be maybe titled a little bit different, but the mental part of this for me is it's where the game change really began to take work. Cause I have the same, I tell you what, dude, we're like twinning here. Like same for me, 4:30 in the morning, I'm getting up. I am making coffee and awesome. I start about a 3-hour routine. Like
that's wild.
Every day of the week, I do not break out of that. And why? It's because first of all, I want to make sure that my mind knows that I'm in control. Like
good.
Because here's the thing. We all think that, your mind is telling you what to do. No, you're telling your mind what to do. This is why the Lord told us, or Paul told us, make every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You have to do that.
Yep.
And then, so I equate it like this. My family, my grandfather and my father, both pilots. My dad flew like small planes, little Cessnas, and he scaled up into bigger stuff over time. My grandfather was in the Air Force, and he ended his career with American Airlines flying a Boeing 7, vastly different startup processes, right? I mean, a little Cessna, you go out there, you check the fuel, you take the wheel chocks out, you start it up and you go. 15 minutes, you're in the air. A 727, I mean, there's not even a key. I mean, come on. It's all about sequence and process and checklists and checklists and checklists and all those kinds of things. And the higher performance you want to become, the larger your startup process needs to be.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and you know, we think that it's about like you said, I got to roll out of bed. What time do I have to be up? Man, you're never going to become anything high performance if that's your mentality. Never.
Yeah. And, but you're absolutely right. We don't, if we can win that war in our mind, we don't think like that. The average person doesn't think like that. Our, you know, we believe so many lies about ourselves or about our potential or about, you know, what's possible that we've lost before we've begun. Like we don't begin because we think we can't.
That is the truth. Well, so talk to me a little bit about your endeavor now, Trailhead, and how you're trying to come alongside people and help them find the transformation that they're looking for.
So, yeah. So all of this, I just kind of happened into, I didn't set out for this, but it, and everything I do that's a part of this is stuff I've just learned from making mistakes and really not trying to start something. I was trying to fix something like my health. So yeah, so I do, you know, I call it Trailhead, and the idea is no more false summits. And you think about in hiking, like just, you know, it can be a grind and you can be tired and you can think that you're looking up and you're like, oh, I think that's the summit. And then you get there and it was just a false summit. And that happens to us in life all the time. We create goals and we dream about the future for maybe our career or vacations we want to take. We look at all these things that we want to do someday. And what you realize is that so many of them they're just false summits. You get there, you take that vacation, you buy that certain size house, or as a pastor, we get to that certain size church. Like there, it's like all this stuff that we set out, like if I could just get to that point, I will arrive and I'll be content. And there is no such thing as a summit that won't be a false summit unless it's surrender to Jesus. And that's the only summit. And it's his words from the passage of the unforced rhythms of grace. And watch how I do it. And at the end of that, he's like, you'll find rest for your soul.
Wow.
And that's the Old Testament in Jeremiah, when God's speaking, it's Israelites, people of Israel and Judah, it's stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is. And then this next part's really important. It's not just about asking, but, and then walk in it, and then actually do it.
I love that.
And when you actually do it and you honor the commitments that you make, you'll find rest for your souls. So in both cases, the summit is rest for your soul. Like we have so many false summits that are out there. And so, you know, I've just developed this kind of this coaching system that I call the Trailhead system. And there's five components to it. The first one is that your habits are your compass. So begin to build those four base camp habits into your life. It's like your habits are your compass. That's the first one. And then the second part of the system is to win the morning.
I like that.
And, you know, establish a win the morning routine that will help you win the day. Like you can't win the day without winning them. Like how you start is oftentimes how you finish. And so I think about that, like we don't get to control what happens to us all throughout the day. We can control some of it, but you get a flat tire. Like, you know, you get a call from somebody that, you know, is in desperate need of your help that you have to give that. We don't get to control everything, but we can control how it starts. 99% of the time we can control how it starts. And so that's the second part of the system is to establish that, you know, that win the morning routine, that win the day. And then the next three are what I call trails. And there's a 60-day trail, a 7-day trail, and a 1-day trail. And so that makes up, you know, if you go to on a hike and you arrive at a trailhead, the first thing you do is you might go to the map and you want to know where you're at, right? So you look at the map and you're looking for that little sign that says you are here. And so maybe you can't, you know, if people can't relate to, man, I don't like to hike. Well, you've had that experience probably at like a shopping mall, you know, where you're looking at the map. It's like, you got to know where, you know, so that's where you start is knowing where you're at. And then, so that's the first question you ask at a trailhead is, where am I? Then you're going to look at, okay, well, where do I want to go on this hike? You know, so where do I want to be? And then from there, once you know where you're at and where you want to be, you can you can then decide, okay, well, create this path. That's so hard to do. You made that point. It's so true. Like, well, now how am I going to get there? And so these trails are, they're the plan. They're the how am I going to get there? So in different seasons of our life, we might be able to look at where we're at in life, whether it's where you want to be or you're a million miles from where you thought you'd be. Just where are you? Just be honest. And then say, where do you want to be? Relationally, physically, mentally, spiritually. What do you wish were true of you or more true of you? And we never stop asking those questions. And that's true. Like, we never stop growing. If something's already true, well, how does it become more true of me? And so then once you can identify where you want to be, then it's about the plan and what's going to take me from where I am now to where I want to be. And so the 60-day trail is about identifying six commitments that you can make over the next 60 days. And I've chosen 60 days because for a couple reasons. One, I like how it breaks down because you can do 60-day seasons, and just over the course of a year, 60 days, just, you know, it's math just kind of works well to take it 2 months at a time. But really, more than that, it's the most recent studies show that it takes 55 to 70 days to form a habit. And you probably heard, maybe most people have, oh, it's 21 days. And that's just not true. Like, I think that came out at some, you know, several years ago, that 21 days. You can make some improvement in 21 days, but habits aren't formed until you hit like day 55 and maybe as many as 70 days to form a habit. So I've just chosen 60 days. So like, what are six commitments that you can make over the next 60 days? And so I encourage one commitment for each area of health, but then also like a career, maybe a career commitment and maybe a calling commitment.
Nice.
And so that's where like you've got some purpose. Yeah, in there.
I love how it breaks it down and you know, it gets simplistic in this, and that's because that's doable. All you have to have is like, you've provided now a framework that people can fit into, and that makes that feels breathable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, it does. And now those six commitments, they typically feel kind of like, I like them written in commitment type statements. Like, I'm going to do this, but they're also kind of like goals. I mean, it's, you know, use the SMART approach, specific, measurable, attainable. So, but you make these goals, make these commitments for 60 days, but then what? And so part of my morning routine is I'm reviewing those. So then I'll review those 60-day commitments that I've made. Well, then I say, okay, well, what are the priorities I need to make for this week in order to take ground in those commitments? So on Monday morning, what I do is I'm like, okay, I review those 60-day commitments, those goals, and I write out now my 6x7. So that's six priorities I need for this week that are going to help me with those things, those 60-day commitments. So it's just like, it's basically this domino effect. It trickles down. And then each day, as I'm reviewing the commitments I made or the priorities I established for that week, I'm choosing what I call HPAs, their high priority activities. Nice. So what are my highest priority activities that I need to commit to today? And this, it could be anywhere from one to maybe six of these high priority activities. And that's based on my schedule for that day. You know, it's not about being unrealistic. If I've got back-to-back appointments for 4 hours, then I'm not going to be unrealistic and set like six things.
Just going to frustrate
yourself.
Might
be one or two that day. Right. Yeah. So what's a priority I need for today to take ground on the priorities I have for the
week? Man, that's good.
So it's really just, so those are the three trails. And what it does is it creates this system that it minimizes the decisions that we have to make. Like, it just, I know when I wake up, it's like this refreshing feeling. I've already decided, like I've decided what I need to do for these 60 days to move toward health. Every day I don't wake up wandering aimlessly. Like, I hope something happens today where I get an approval, like we're reacting to things that come our way. We're being proactive. Yeah. And I get to look, each week I get to look, I've decided for this 60 days what I want to commit to. So now I just get to decide this week how I'm going to do that.
Now,
same with
you. Do you have any kind of practical tool or anything that you use to keep track of all this?
I do. And for me, I use, so two things. I use an iPad where I use the Reminders app, and you have it on, like, if you have an iPhone, it's different for like an Android or Google device, but I have a Reminders app, and it's that where you can make lists. So one of my lists is called my 6x60. One of my lists is called my 6x7 and ones, you know, my daily HPAs. And so it's, and then I also have one that's to do's. So like if Kevin, if from out of this, you said, hey, Brad, could you send me this? Like that will just go on my to-do list. And so then in the morning, when I'm choosing my high priority activities, I look at my to-do list and all I have to do is hold down on my iPad that to-do and slide it over into the reminder for that day. And so it's all just about, you know, it feels kind of like that Minority Report where Tom Cruise is like on the screen and he's like swiping things. But that's all I'm doing. I'm just, I'm looking at my list and I'm swiping them. But then I also have, I just call it the Trailhead Journal, and it's a 60-day journal where it walks you through a process of assessing like where you're at in life. There's an assessment you can take. And then from after taking the assessment, there's a process to help you set your 6x60 commitments. And then there's a daily journal, you know, so you can actually check boxes. I'm a box checker. I love it. So it just, so you literally every single day, you know, it just walks you through. There's a place for notes. So you're checking your four habits each day. So you're doing that. You're checking your win the morning routine and your daily HPAs. And so you do that, you know, every day for 60 days. So
who are you inviting into this process with you? I mean, is this a coaching program that you do or what does this look like?
So the first, as far as the journal, that the first time I've ever done the journal was this fall. So 150 people from my church went through it. We just finished in October. So now based on some feedback from that, I'm rewriting it, not rewriting the whole thing, but making some improvements and releasing, you know, the next version of it early 2005. Called that one my pilot that I did with the attenders of our church because they're, you know, I, you know, just wanted that place to see value in people's lives and have conversation and feedback. And but it's really, so then the coaching side of it is something I'm just now starting. And so that's just with, you know, leaders, business leaders, but even more as things go on, it's, you know, I basically want to invite people, you know, each 60-day season to be a part of a 60-day experience to where it's like a cohort where they could journey with a group of people for 60 days. And that's, for me, that it's all about doing it with people. Like you got to have people. I read a definition of Trailhead one time that it's a place where friends meet up to go on a journey together. And so, you know, the idea of a journey toward health is so much better when you're with people.
So that's the truth.
I'm basically be starting to form, cohorts of people, groups of people that can go through it together. So like even the 150 that went through it at our church one line, you know, there's a daily text message and there's encouragement that they can respond to and you know, there's feedback. So it's like so much better with people.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's really, and then, so yeah, it's, you know, through individuals, anybody really. But then also there's a, you know, another arm of Trailhead that will be more of like business or pastoral coaching, executive
That's
coaching.
That's good. Wow. So if we bring this together today and kind of just boil this down, land this plane, whatever analogy you want to use, what message would you send to a pastor today who's listening to this, maybe kind of in that same season, in the place that you were at? What would you say to encourage him or challenge him into making some changes?
Yeah. Well, I would say change is possible. And that to just say to yourself, no more false summits. Evaluate the summits, whether or not they're spoken or that maybe you haven't written them down, maybe you haven't said them out loud. But if you're honest with yourself, like what's the end game for you? And like, what's the summit that you've established in your life that you've said, once I arrive here? And then ask yourself, is that a false summit? And if it doesn't have to do with, you know, your surrender to Jesus and the health of your soul, then it will for sure end up being a false summit. And that if you can establish that first, and this is the encouragement part of it, like it's just a domino effect in every area of your life. You'll start to see so much transformation and so much change.
That's good.
And if there's one other thing I would say is that don't get overwhelmed by how much change might need to happen. Mm-hmm. It's, what is the most important thing you can do today?
Yep.
One small change every single day, better and better, and transformation is possible.
That's good.
So
that's good. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Brad, thank you so much. This has been so much fun.
Absolutely.
How can people get in touch with you? Is there a website? Is there a email address that you could put out there?
Yeah. So right now, the best way to get in touch with me is through my email, brad@onelinechurch.org. There's a Trailhead website being built. It's not ready yet. And so right now it's through yeah, just through my, you know, my email, Brad at onelinechurch.org.
Terrific. Well, we'll make sure that we include that in the show notes for this. So if you're looking forward to connecting with Brad, be sure to grab that email link, reach out to him, ask him for some insight and input into this Trailhead idea. I absolutely love it. I think it's genius. It's definitely something that you can benchmark and use to advance where you're at and where you want to go next. Brad, thanks so much for being a part of my show today. And I look forward to connecting with you again soon. We'll go from there.
For sure. Thanks for having me, Kevin. It was great getting to know you and meeting you here.
All right, man. Thank you.
Yep.